Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here at One Bills Live, Steve Tasker. In just a few moments, we're going to have Daniel Jeremiah on with us. He's the NFL Network draft analyst. For those of you who are kind of media connoisseurs, he took over when Mike Mayock became general manager of the Oakland Raiders this past season, and he was actually interviewed for a couple of general manager jobs around the NFL, so I'm told. He was also a former scout for the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, and the Philadelphia Eagles, and he does the radio analyst color job for the Chargers on a week-to-week basis during the regular season. We're also talking to our listeners, you and our viewers, about, other than a player that's on the Buffalo Bills, which NFL players are you most excited to watch in 2019? You can call us at 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550 to get in on that conversation. We've got some feedback on the tweet sheet coming in from Dinah. She says a lot of good choices out there, but she's going to go with J.J. Watt. We had a conversation with my co-host for the first hour of the show, Alex Carrington, about some of the guys who have been great players, J.J. Watt in particular, about, is he going to be able to get it back together? You remember, J.J. Watt has been plagued by injuries over the last handful of seasons. Three-time defensive MVP or defensive player of the year in the NFL, has not been able to stay on the field enough really to be a difference maker for the Houston Texans. But Dinah says she's the one, she's going to watch him more than anybody else in the National Football League. Also from Brian, one of the players around the National Football League that he's most excited to watch, other than a Bills player, is Sean Payton's Saints NFC Revenge Tour. And the Iowa tight end Fant and Hockenson, those two tight ends. Fant is on the Broncos and Hockenson is on the Lions. The two tight ends, a lot of people thought the Buffalo Bills were going to take one of those tight ends in this last draft. They ended up taking Ed Oliver. Instead, actually, Hockenson went just before the Bills to the Lions, which really, if you saw the draft coverage, when that happened, when that pick happened, there was a lot of fist bumping going on around the Bills draft room. And because of that, people got to realize that Ed Oliver was the guy they wanted all along. And right now, I think what we're going to do right now, instead of I think Daniel Jeremiah is going to be a couple of minutes, so what we're going to do is we're going to throw you to an interview that we just did maybe a month ago or so. Former NFL wide receiver Steve Smith came to One Bills Live back in June. He sat down with John Murphy and Chris Brown. They got him in the studio to discuss why he came to visit this year's Buffalo Bills team. And I want you to listen to this interview because it's really interesting. And here's Steve Smith as he visited One Bills Drive.
You guys are trying to build something here, and I've been asked graciously by Coach McDermott, and so I obliged and said, hey, I love to speak. If you think that I am capable of giving them something that you think is valuable, I sure I'll do it. And he said, of course, I think you are, and come out here. And I said, okay.
So you spoke to the full team this morning, yep. And this afternoon after the OTA, you're going to speak to rookies.
Yeah, I speak to the rookies, kind of talk to them about where they're going. I got my notes here, and one of the things I was going to express to them is, they're rookies, and they don't even really know this, but in 48 months, the team will decide if they're going to pick up their fifth-year option.
Right.
In 52 months, they will either be a free agent or they'll be re-signing a new deal, right? To just kind of put in the terms and in time frame something measurable so they can see that this isn't high school. This is not college. You have to earn the right to be here. But also kind of tell them what it takes to get to this point. And it takes a lot of hard work. It takes some due diligence. And it also takes a vision, right? They need to understand why they're doing it. And they need to have a why. Now, what their why It is not my place to tell them what they, how important or is their why less important. All it is they have to have a why, and they have to be dependable and reliable, because they are only, this team will only be as strong as the man next to them.
They, you know, the rookies these days, they have to get onboarded a lot faster than they did, maybe even when you first came into the league, because, you know, unless they were a highly touted draft choice that they wanted to get on the field early because they were that talented or they were that effective, you know, there was a little run-up time before they had to be counted on a Sunday. I mean, nowadays, you know, especially if you got a team with a quarterback that you're paying a lot of money, you got to get these young draft picks on the field early. So that onboarding process to the way things operate at the NFL level, they got to get it fast.
Well, it's always been that way, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
It has. What has made it tough is you don't have training camp for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And I was in training camp 6 weeks. I remember being in training camp. I was tired of the school and the cafeteria and the food. I mean, they switched it up, I think, 2010 when the lockout 11, and all that stuff. 2011, that year, I had spent 365 days of my life in training camp. Now guys got to play like 30 years or, you know.
Yeah, to get that time.
I'm exaggerating,
right.
But they have to play so much longer now because the window in training camp is so much shorter. I think it does benefit you. But what has transpired in that is what I believe is September is the fool me month, because you don't really know a team's identity, true identity, in September, because it's so much time is going on, or lack thereof time, that once the season starts, that they're utilizing the first couple of games to really just get acclimated, get in shape, to you really know who is and who isn't, because you don't have that allotted time anymore in training camp.
And I know, you know, this organization likes to get players that they say have our DNA. In other words, know the kind of daily process we go through here, and that they feel have the demeanor, have the personality, have the work ethic to kind of just fall right in line and join the rest of the group. But there are still college players out there that come to the league with this sense of entitlement, like people owe them something.
Yeah, that's
how do you flip that kid's thinking? Because if you have that thinking for a long time in this league, you're not going to be here very long, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you flip a kid like that and get them to understand, hey, you got to put the work in, no matter how good you are?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I will never be a coach. and here's why. Because now, you know, all my kids go to private school. I get gas put in my car. And for me to depend on my gas or my kids, I got two kids now in college. College tuition is dependent on an entitled person coming out of college.
Yeah.
I'm not rolling that dice. Football for 16 years was a gamble. But really, honestly, what's going on is football has changed. It is a mental aspect of it, but the physical aspect of it has taken the backseat a little bit. So you have to learn how to maneuver and pick the right kids. And there's you're going to pick some wrong ones. And when that happens, you do what everybody else does. You say, my fault. You move on. And you replace them. Mm-hmm. Because we're all replaceable.
Steve Smith is with us. 16 seasons in the NFL, now with the NFL Network. Chris and I were talking before you came out here, Steve, about your story, your backstory. Third-round pick, a JUCO first, and then University of Utah.
The scenic route.
The scenic route. But it's unusual. Like, Bills fans thought, oh, we need a wide receiver. We need a wide receiver. We better get a premium first-round wide receiver. But your career points to the fact that players come from everywhere in the draft. You know what I mean? You don't need to have a premium pick to get a top-level wide receiver in this league.
Well, that's true, but they also, when they picked me at the 76th pick, you know, in 2001, I was not allowed to play wide receiver, so I wasn't a premium pick for them. I was a special teams guy.
Is that right?
Yes. So, you know, I think one of the things that teams are what they're going to do is teams are going to decide, you know, how do they utilize each individual guy. But the thing that I love about the draft, why I'm such entrenched in it, the thing I love about the combine, why I do it every year, is the draft. The combine is a place where the organizations, the scouts, the GMs, everybody that are part of the draft process, it gives them opportunity to fill in the blanks. See, a lot of people don't realize the draft is a place where they tear you down, not build you up. Mm. It's a place where they evaluate you and they nitpick everything about you.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, because it's an investment. And when you go on an investment, you don't go on and being a father and having one daughter, when the guy comes in to marry my daughter, I'm not going to roll out the red carpet and make him feel good. I want to know what his deficiencies are, because right. as the father-in-law, I want to be able to help him, because if I can help him, he is better to my daughter, which makes it better for the family.
Gotcha.
Right? And that's what the draft, that's what the combine is. The combine is to find out what these young men's deficiencies are, and is your team equipped to assist that young man?
Yeah.
And then if you guys are and you can be, you turn out and have fantastic player, and you go on and so forth and so on.
You know, I know you know Lorenzo, and Lorenzo's been in the league a long time too, and he tries to talk to a lot of these young guys about the finite amount of time that you're in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, I think sometimes when these guys see, oh, Steve Smith's been in the league 16 years, how'd you do that? Or Lorenzo, this is your 14th season, how'd you do that? And he says, a lot of these guys too also feel like they've got, we got plenty of time to go to the playoffs and this and that. You play 16 years, 11 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be fleeting, like really fast. I think if somebody said, oh yeah, I know Steve Smith played 16 seasons, he probably played in 30, 35 playoff games in that amount of time. You tell him 11, I think you get some mouths to open up. Well, you're talking to the rookies today, because I think they got all the time in the world, and then all of a sudden they're in their eighth year and they haven't been to the playoffs yet. They're like, oh man, I'm running out of time.
I've had people, that's why I'm on social media, tell me that I didn't show up in the playoffs. I got 1,000 receptions. I got 100 receptions in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I've been there a little bit. But one of the cool things that you don't even know about Lorenzo that a lot of people don't know, Lorenzo was in Carolina with me.
Yeah, he was. He said he was a teammate of yours.
He was a teammate. And his wife and my wife were roommates in college.
Oh, wow. Right? Now, that I didn't know.
Lorenzo met his wife and my wife's good friend, and they grew up together in Utah, out in D.C. Lorenzo is just like me. He took the scenic route as well.
He did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Lorenzo was much bigger.
Yep.
Yeah, multiple position route.
Yes. He played everything. He was an end, a nose. And now he's out there playing linebacker and playing special teams, well-traveled, very good leader. So, you know, he's a great example of guys understanding. You see him today, but you don't know his story.
Yeah.
And that's really what we have to teach these young men, is understand the story of the guy that you're playing next to, because it's extremely important.
Hey, Steve, you were talking about the combine a couple of minutes ago, and you made a little bit of news at the combine.
Yes.
Noteworthy here in Buffalo, UB quarterback Tyree Jackson. During the Saturday throwing drills and pass receiving drills, you went up and had a kind of an extended conversation with him.
It was short.
What was that all
about? It was short. See, hey, you look at my face. You see my face?
Yep.
That was a, hey, buddy. Can you not throw the ball so hard, right? And the reason I've got a pinky that I broke 3 times in 1 year. I split my web, dislocated both my thumbs, right? So I understand when you're 5 yards away, don't throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And also explain to him one of the reasons too. Quarterbacks, you know, wide receivers have to earn the trust of the quarterback. You hear that all the time, right? How's the chemistry? But a lot of quarterbacks need to understand, too, that the wide receiver must trust the quarterback will not throw him into a headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will guide him to a place of good pastures. Not throw him.
A lot of green space.
Not throw him into where he goes into the pastures, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so getting to understand that, it's like you don't have to throw it 100 miles an hour. Touch. Right, and so he received it very well. I talked to him today a little bit. I think I need a little bit of money, because I think, based on that clip, it actually put him on the radar of some teams.
Yeah. Yep.
So you know, I think I need to get a little little residual.
Yeah. He's here now.
So. He is, and doing well.
Yeah,
the coaches say he's smart. He's intelligent. He's a great kid, he's a hard worker.
Wants to be good.
He wants to be good, you know, and he showed very early on that he's coachable. So, you know, I think I played a huge part in that, and you can't see it on camera, but I am patting myself on the back right now. So I just, you know.
Well, I'll ask you a little more serious, actually, it's much more serious topic, a speech you gave a couple weeks ago in Charlotte where you played for 13 years, and you talked about your battle with depression. And there was one part you said that despite all the love from your wife, from your children, from fans, you still felt alone when you were playing in the NFL.
Absolutely. It was something that I personally struggled with just based on some of the things that transpired and I went through as a child. My mom and my dad tried to do the best they could in the surroundings, and they did. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. But we all internalize things differently. We all can look at something, just like someone listening to this. If you poll 10 people, you'll possibly get 10 different responses. Some may be enjoyable, some may dislike it. But that's based on their makeup, based on their experiences, and also based on their point of view of me. And so that serves the same purpose as a player. With the success, all of that stuff, but yet still feeling alone because I put myself there to some degree, and then some of the other parts where I didn't understand it, I didn't figure it out. So I need to seek counseling to really understand it, why, and then also understand how I process things and how I go through things and how I see it. And sometimes because I'm very much vision oriented, I have an objective, I'm a planner, and when things don't go that way, I get sidetracked and I get a little fidgety. I maybe, you know, respond in a way that's more of one of my counselors, what he says is a great quote. He says, when you react to something and you get hysterical, because generally is something in the past that is historical. Mm-hmm. And so identifying what in my past has led to me to think about certain things a certain way, articulate it, and even process it. So when I understand those things, I kind of just do that. Like, my daughter graduated this weekend, and I'm parked. And 5 years ago, Steve would have overreacted. I'm parked. We're in a restaurant. My wife goes out. We ordered a big meal. Had a whole bunch of people, so we got to go so we could break bread at home. And a gentleman hits me while I'm parked, and I get out of the car like, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" And my daughter texts my oldest boy and said, "Someone hit dad someone hit us while we were parked." And my son goes, "Is dad fighting right now?" And my daughter goes, "Nope."
See, this is, and I gotta say, you know, I mean, we have access to, especially since you didn't play, you know, in Buffalo.
Yep.
The access we had to Steve Smith, the player, it was like almost an alter ego to what we're seeing sitting here. And did you have that alter ego on the field? Because I mean, a lot of people
absolutely
felt you had to play angry to be as successful as you were.
Well, one of the things is, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah,
I give people what I believe what they want. There's some people I would interact with. Lenny, the team chaplain here, love him. Great guy. He was in Baltimore with me. It took me a few months to warm up and speak to him. All right? There's other people in there. I had a conversation with Lenny and the team chaplain with the Baltimore Ravens, Johnny Shelton, that I never had conversations with other guys. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. Because there were certain guys I chose to interact with the way I chose to, because I still had a wall up. And so this part that you see me, I have to be this way because this I am. But even at the house, man, at the house on the weekends during the playoffs, me and my boys are playing basketball. We play a series of seven. I play cardio tennis with my wife on Mondays and Fridays. There's a part of me that I'm not on social media because I love my privacy. So there's parts of me that you will never see, and I'm not interested in showing you. But then there's other parts where I will give you all of it and more because that's what I want you to believe. Because that's what it may sound a certain way, but that's what I feel like giving you. And that's how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I go by, and that's me. And I'm okay with it. And if you're not, that's not my problem.
Steve, we see you on NFL Network at the Combine, obviously, and throughout the course of the football season now, the last year or two. What do you like about that? What kind of work do you like doing for NFL Network?
So for me, what I love doing is I formulate my opinion based on the film I watch. I watch a ton of film. Pro Football Focus, I have an account with them. I have an account, obviously, with the network, and I watch all the games. I have Game Pass, so I watch all the games. I will watch tape on guys, and I'll allow the tape to tell me. Great example. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. When I'm watching the third quarter and you guys are down 13-7, the first thing I do is I look at the stats, and then I go down and I say, okay, how many attempts has Shady had? How many passes has Josh Allen attempted? And that can tell me why you guys are up or down. So I let the numbers tell me, and then I go watch film, and I formulate my opinion, whether you like it or not, based on what I see on film, because the eye in the sky never lies. It tells us what we want to know about anybody. In Carolina, using where I live currently, when I see this now, how many touches did Christian McCaffrey have? If they don't have a high score, it tells me Christian McCaffrey has not had, he's had below 22 touches a game. When he touches the ball 22 more, they're doing a good job. When Shady McCoy is running the ball effectively when he's healthy, and when he's out and he's playing 76% of the time of the offense, he is what I call the chain mover. So that's what I love about the game. That's what I see, and that's what I do. Everything else, personally, based on geographic, did I like your team? Did I like your players? I can care less about it because I only know what I know based off what the numbers tell me.
See, and the luxury of that is the game's already happened.
Yeah.
So he can look at all the numbers and almost do it the reverse, the way like a reporter or a journalist covering the game live has to do it.
Correct.
That's like almost the opposite way, and I would almost prefer to do it his way.
Yeah. So what exactly what I do is I'll watch it, I'll look at the score, and then I watch it, or I'm watching it because the show I do, I don't leave, go back home until halftime. So I watch the halftime. Mm. And so while I watch halftime, I watch the games. I have my laptop and I'm watching the games. And let's be honest, there are some games and some teams, if they're out of it, we're not talking about you.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Right.
But then I watch it at halftime. When I get off the airplane, I get to 338 out of Philly every Sunday. I get home by 5. I get off the airplane by 5:15. I look at the games, the results. They're going in third or fourth quarter. Some of them end it. And then I'll go back and watch them and start all over because I'll say, oh, this is why. So I'll pick the teams based on the score, what I want to watch, and their importance.
Steve Smith, before we let you go, Len Vannebos, the Bills chaplain, told me that you met him in Baltimore, but you also participate in his group that goes to prisons and talks to prisons, right? Daryl Strawberry, you? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. He invited me several times to Angola up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And my first year, two or three years ago, the last day for deadline, I said, all right, I'll go. And, man, it changed my life.
Did you go to Angola then?
I went to Angola, yeah. And I've been ever since, and I get a group of guys that come with me out of Charlotte, or guys that I know or former players, because here's why. All the success I've had fences and barriers in my life, you know, and I've never met a bunch of men that are on prison for life, are destitute or hopeless, but you have so much hope and freedom of men who are in bad positions. I have no fences in my life that I have no lights out, I have no bars, I don't have to check in with anyone, but yet I've lived in this bondage for so many years. And I've never been around a bunch of guys who have so much freedom and such a unique situation. And so for me, that's why I go in this. And Lenny gave me an opportunity, and man, it's been remarkable.
It sounds like it's almost done as much for you as it probably does for those inmates. Like,
how about this? For the first time ever, I go to a prison every year now, and it feels like a retreat.
Hmm. Wow. We're happy to
have
you.
We're getting deep here.
Yeah.
This is deep stuff here.
Now, here's the thing. Now, when you watch me on Sundays and Thursday night football, you won't get any of this.
Right.
Because that's not the stage.
Well, that's not what they're asking for, right.
Well, no, actually, they tell me, they don't tell me what to say.
Oh,
really? Okay. No. Now, actually, what they do tell me is dial it back and watch the language. Other than that, I get to say whatever I want to.
Well, we went a whole different kind of deep with Steve Smith. We're used to seeing him run down the sideline for deep bombs. We went in a different direction here.
I can't help think how good you look in that Bills gear right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
About 10, 15
I wouldn't
years
have minded
ago,
that.
That would have been all right.
Wouldn't
here.
Have minded that.
Well, you guys had the opportunity to draft me, and you drafted some other bum. So,
you know what? Now I'm going to look it up. I want to see who they picked that year.
Thanks, yeah. Steve. Thanks for this. Thanks for talking to Bills players, the vets,
appreciate
and the rookies.
It.
Thank you. Steve Smith, 16 years in the NFL, 5-time Pro Bowl performer here speaking to the Buffalo Bills. Chris and I coming back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along for the ride today. We had Alex Carrington in for the first hour of the show. We also just had you re-listen to an interview that Murph and Chris Brown did with Steve Smith when he was in to speak to the team. Sean McDermott had Steve Smith, the NFL Network analyst, to speak to the team about what it took to be a professional. We enjoyed that interview. Now we're pleased to be joined by Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network draft analyst, former Ravens, Browns, Eagles scout, Chargers radio color analyst. Daniel, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo on One Bills Live. I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on. Thanks so much for making some time. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'll tell you what, as you can appreciate, these last couple weeks before everything starts up, you know, you're at kids' doctor's appointments. Yeah, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There's a lot going on. You're trying to get the last loose ends tied up before training camp hits. And I was just want to ask you, I know it's a couple of months old, but you're the draft analyst. What did you think about the Buffalo Bills draft? I know it started with Ed Oliver and then went to Cody Ford, but Ed Oliver falls to number 9 and the Bills grab him. What do you think about that pick?
Well, that was a heck of a pick. You know, you've got somebody that's got the potential to be the impact player in the entire draft, you know, with what he's capable of skill set wise. So, you know, you win, as you know, you win in this league by being really, really good in the trenches and getting good quarterback play. And they feel like they've solved the quarterback thing last year. And I thought this draft was about getting some impact players along the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it's going to be an adjustment period for both those guys for different reasons, but man, the upside for both of them is out of sight.
Yeah, you talk about getting better up front, and of course, Ed Oliver is a given. He was projected really high in some drafts, and then you get offensive tackle Cody Ford in the second. Now, he could end up playing tackle. He could end up playing guard. What is the upside possibility for a young guy like Cody Ford, who's got a lot of physical ability, he's got the size, but might need some polish?
Yeah, he's going to need some polish, but he's got, you know, one thing is he can really move people. He's a big, strong dude. And, you know, in pass protection, you think kind of in Oklahoma coming out of that system, that would be his strength. And I think he's got some stuff to clean up there. Really, the thing that gets me excited is what they've done with the stable of backs that they've got to take some pressure off Josh Allen. I think he's going to be able to move some people in the run game, and he's athletic enough to get up to the second level. So there's a great skill set to work with there. He just needs to continue to polish some things up, and they've got a chance to have a really good player who not only is talented, but has that inside-outside flexibility, which is going to allow you to put the best five out there in the injuries. As they always do.
Yeah, and this offseason, we're talking to Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft analyst. We're talking, there's so much about this offseason for the Buffalo Bills has been about giving Josh Allen some help on his side of the ball. Certainly Cody Ford is a nod towards that at the offensive line. But have they done enough? You've got Frank Gore, you've got LeSean McCoy, yeah. But then you've got two guys that, you know, they're not huge home run, you know, Antonio Brown or Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins type of receivers, but with John Brown and Cole Beasley coming into the fold, yeah. It certainly is an upgrade if it isn't a home run.
Yeah, I actually think the Cole Beasley signing is one of the more underrated ones around the entire league. You know, you saw the Jets do the same thing when they went out and got Crowder. Is trying to find a way to help young quarterbacks. You do that by running the football, but you also do that by having somebody that can help you out on third down. And I think Cole Beasley has proven to be one of the better guys in that role. He's going to be able to uncover quickly, give him nice, easy throws. So I like what he brings. And then I think when you look at the receiver group as a collection and adding John Brown and Foster, that whole group that they have now, there's a track team. There's a lot of speed. And with Josh Allen's arm, you know, hey, run the ball with this improved offensive line and your backs. and then be able to pay that off down the field. I think they've got some guys that can do that. And maybe the most intriguing one to me of their additions in the offseason is Dalton Knox, because he didn't have the production in college for whatever reason. There was a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, being one of them. But he is very athletic, and it'll be fun to watch him grow with a young quarterback because he can really get down the seam.
Yeah, you talk about not producing in college. Dalton Knox, no TDs, but then you got three other guys at wide receiver who were taken in the NFL draft or just after the draft, signed with NFL teams. So he didn't really have as many opportunities as maybe the two Iowa tight ends did in their system. But Dalton Knox does have some ability. And he's a big time. Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a and he's got some polish. How much? I read the article that you wrote about you're projecting into next season about five defenses who may be the top five defenses in the National Football League. You did not put the Buffalo Bills in that list, but I wanted to ask you too. One of the reasons the Buffalo Bills did have a top five defense last year. Why would you see them dropping out? Is it the improvement of other teams, or do you feel like they're stagnant or taking a step back?
No, I think it's a good conversation to have with so many teams that are kind of right along in that mix. When you put those lists together, I try and, first of all, I look at the line of scrimmage, and that's usually where I start. And I think that they've got some new pieces in there, and we'll see how they all come together. But, you know, they've got a great person manning the controls there with McDermott, who knows how to orchestrate everything. They've got a rising star, Tremaine Edmonds. They've got talent in the secondary, with Tre'Davious White and a good safety group. So, I mean, they belong in the conversation, absolutely. But when I was putting that list together, I really put a little bit more emphasis on what some of those teams look like up front. And that's why I gave some of those other teams a little bit of an advantage there. But, you know, like when you've got a great play caller and you've got speed, which they have now, and they continue to add to that on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's safe to say, I mean, the defense is still going to be way ahead of the offense up there right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. One of the things about these defenses, and certainly the Bills' defense would fall into this category a year ago, they didn't get much complimentary help from their offense. And are there some of these defenses, like you say, Jacksonville, Chicago, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Cowboys, and any other defenses that might come to your mind, are there any defenses that really kind of get a lot of complimentary help from their offense at this point? Does that go into this list and your evaluation as to how much the defense has to carry the load? Because the Buffalo defense certainly carried most of it last year.
Yeah, no question. And the other one that I would, you know, I would kind of put in the same category would be Denver, where Denver has a very, very gifted defense, and our offense just didn't do them a whole lot of favors, putting them in an opportunity to be able to play with a big lead and be able to rush early on in the game. You know, I get a chance to do those Charger games each and every week, and I think that's a very balanced team. It's not lopsided at all. I don't know necessarily the defense bails the offense out or the other way around. I just think, man, you've got a team that can score points, and you've got pass rushers. You can cut them loose, and you can cut them loose early in the game, and that is definitely a huge advantage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as well, one team that seems to be standing out as being a little bit different in philosophy this year is the Baltimore Ravens. And you talk about a team that has done it with defense. They won two world championships with late Ray Lewis, albeit a lot of years apart. They still did it with defense first, and then when they won it with Joe Flacco as their quarterback, he got so hot during the postseason. But that's a team this year with Lamar Jackson who really seems to be doing it a little bit differently. They're going to make you bear up and stop the run. Does that play into the hands of a good defense, and will they, you know, will that fly in the NFL, do you think?
Well, I think it does two things. Number one, absolutely, it shortens the game, and any defensive coordinator is going to love the fact they don't have to play a lot of snaps. So that helps first and foremost. The second thing I'd say is I think it impacts your floor, and I think we saw that last year. I mean, if you run the ball that well, and play great defense, I mean, you're going to be a 9-10 win team every single year. That's your floor. The question is, when you get into the postseason and the playing field's a little bit level, and that's where quarterback play becomes a big difference maker, can you win the ultimate prize doing that? And even though those teams, they're Super Bowl teams, the first one I would say, look, that 2000 group was an all-time group. And they also had a big-time stable of backs and a great offensive line, and I thought they were, you know, Dilfer, when he needed to make a play here and there, he did. But the defense 100% carried the team.
Right.
I think the league's changed since then, and even in their last championship, you mentioned it, even though it was a defensive dominant team, Joe Flacco had the, you know, the best month of football of his entire life.
Right.
To play at that level. Now, is Lamar Jackson capable of putting together a string of 3 or 4 weeks like that? I don't think he is at this point in time.
We're talking with Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network. He's their draft analyst. He's a former scout for the Ravens, Browns, Eagles, and also he's the color analyst for the Chargers game day broadcast. He's also he's the host of the Move the Sticks podcast. It's going to do a video of position of series positional prototypes. And it's interesting to think about those prototypes. We've got some guys in the league who seem to be doing really well. And you put together a list of your five, maybe your top five most likely MVP candidates. And it's kind of the usual suspects: Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, Phillip Rivers, and Zeke Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys. Are there some guys in that group that maybe fall into that prototypical type of guy you need playing their position? Certainly you've got a couple of quarterbacks and a couple of running backs.
No, absolutely. You know, I think we in our running back episode, when we go through and we talk to you know, players and coaches, executives, and then we kind of go through scouting the position, what you look for. And at the end of these episodes, we kind of say, who do we think is the prototype? You know, if you're going to go out scouting and this would be your dream scenario, who would it be? And I think at the running back position, even 1 year in, I would take Saquon Barkley just because of everything he can do and the size that he has to go along with all that. So he's a very unique talent, and that puts him in the prototype category. You know, in the quarterback position, if I was looking for, you know, looking at that MVP candidate, you're a little bit beholden to what's around you, and I think Patrick Mahomes coming off of an MVP with the play caller, playmakers, protection, all that stuff in place, he's got a chance to run it back. But if I was going to design a, you know, a prototype and somebody that I was trying to, you know, say has everything, I would still go, I think, to Andrew Luck. You know, it's the highest grade I've ever given a quarterback coming into the draft. He can do just about anything you could ever want to do on a football field. And I just think he's further along in terms of winning through his progression in the pocket than Mahomes is at this point in time. Obviously, Mahomes has the special ability to get outside and create. But, you know, prototype-wise, those would be mine right now. At the running back position would be Barkley. At the quarterback position would be Luck.
What's holding Andrew Luck back?
Well, I think they need to continue to improve the group around him. At the outside, you've got T.Y. Hilton, I know. They've tried to make some additions there. I still don't know that, you know, Devin Funches is a nice player, but I don't know if that's, you know, going back to the days of Marvin, Reggie, and Stokely in the slot with Dallas Clark. And, you know, he doesn't have that group now.
Right.
So they need to continue to upgrade those positions around him. But first and foremost, they did what the Bills have focused on doing, and that is get the offensive line right. It's amazing how much better these quarterbacks look when they get protected.
That's right. We're talking to Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft analyst. I also want to ask you about one guy who was on your top five list for being an MVP candidate, a guy we've watched play for almost two decades, Phillip Rivers. I know that he was coached at one point by my good friend and the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Reich. And Frank talked about Phillip Rivers in glowing terms. What do you see in his game? Obviously, he's got they've assembled a great roster around him. What do you see in his game that has allowed him to be so prolific for so long?
Well, he plays the game from the shoulders up. I mean, it's fun, especially in this, you know, the stadium they play in the StubHub Center. It's such a tight little stadium. You can hear everything up in the booth. You hear all the communication, and he knows what everybody's doing 9 times out of 10 once he gets to the line of scrimmage. He'll point at guys and tell them he knows that they're coming. It's, you know, he's just so dang smart, and he works through progressions. He always knows where his safety valve is. You know, there's been games where I've left the stadium, and I've said, you know, man, the offensive line played great today. And then you go watch the tape, and you're like, oh, my gosh, it was so leaky, but you never even knew it because Rivers was able to account for it and get the ball out of his hands. So that plus the competitiveness, the leadership, all that stuff has made him, you know, very good for a very long time. This year, in putting him in that discussion as an MVP candidate, the reason I did that is because I really believe Hunter Henry coming back for this offense, as somebody who I think is a top five tight end in the NFL, with the emergence of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen playing the way he can play,
I think he's got a chance to have a huge year.
Could this be the year the Chargers finally do it? I mean, they've flirted with it at times, but they've struggled, you know, as a franchise for, you know, no, well, they've never they've been to one Super Bowl in their history. Could this be a year where they finally got all the pieces in the right spot?
Well, it is tough. It is tough inside that division, you know, with Kansas City there and AFC, as you know, and knowing that New England team as well as you do. There are some big hurdles to get over to get where you want to get. But I just think talent-wise, they're right there. They can play with anybody. And I think when you get into the postseason, when you've got the potential to have a hot quarterback and a pass rush, which as good as their pass rush was last year, you know, Bosa missed a big chunk of time. Keeping him healthy for the full season with Ingram. They drafted Jerry Tillery in the first round, who can rush inside. A kid last year, Chinua Nwosu, USC, it can help them. They've got waves of pass rushers. So
right.
That's the formula for me. I mean, that's what it is. It's getting the ability to get after the quarterback and the ability for a quarterback to play well for you. And I think they've got a chance to do both.
One last thing, Daniel, I want to ask you about before we go, and it's we'll flip it around to the other side of the ball. You also had five Defensive Player of the Year candidates, guys you were kind of looking for. Obviously, there's Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Khalil Mack are on that. But you also had two other names I want you to touch on, Derwin James. And, of course, Myles Garrett, the young defensive lineman from the Cleveland Browns. What can you tell me about Derwin James and Myles Garrett that puts them on this list?
Sure. With Derwin, you know, last year he was incredible, just with everything he was able to do as a rookie to impact that team. And you talk to Gus Bradley, he'll tell you Derwin James is the leader of that defense as a rookie, which is so rare. But the height, weight, speed, the playmaking ability, that's all evident. What I think could take his game to the next level this year is they went out and they drafted a kid in the second round, Nasir Adderley, which is going to give them a true free safety. Last year, Derwin had to bounce back and forth depending on the game, whether he was going to play high or whether he was going to play low. But having Nasir Adderley there, and they also have another kid, Rayshon Jenkins, that's developing, if they can allow Derwin to play in the box and be that kind of rolled-up safety, he's going to have a bunch of sacks. He's going to have a bunch of impact plays. He's going to be a stat stuffer down there. So that, to me, is why I see him having a big year. And then you go to Myles Garrett. You know, Myles Garrett, with the help that they've added on the defensive line in Cleveland, he's as gifted as any pass rusher in the league, and now teams aren't going to be able to focus on him quite as much. So you got offense with their additions, with Odell and everything they have there firepower-wise. You get a talented pass rusher with some help on the defensive line that plays with the lead, that's the recipe for success.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Draft Network, thanks for this. I know you had to juggle your schedule around to fit us in. We really appreciate it, and we hope to have you on again sometime.
I appreciate you, bud. I just got my training camp scheduled, so I'll be out there. I'm looking forward to seeing the Bills soon in a couple weeks.
Great. We'll have you on live on the show then, if that's the case.
I would love it.
All right, we'll see you then, Daniel. Thank you. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Draft Network analyst, former Ravens, Browns, Eagles scout, and the Chargers radio color analyst. This is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. Henry Jones, former Bills safety, coming up right after this. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker in today. Murph is on vacation. We had Alex Carrington in the first hour of the show, former third-round draft pick of the Buffalo Bills. He was on with us. We had Daniel Jeremiah on the show as well from the NFL Network. He's their draft analyst. We also had an interview with Steve Smith. He was in this last offseason talking to the team about how to be a professional, how to make it. He was a third-round draft pick, turned in one of the Hall of Fame-type career. With the Carolina Panthers and then ended up with the Baltimore Ravens. We had him on the show as well. We're going to have Henry Jones on at the top of the hour in just a few minutes when he makes his rounds around this building. He's in town for an event tonight. We'll ask him about that. We also are asking you, our listeners, about the player who is not on the Buffalo Bills who you are the most excited about seeing play this season, 2019. Is there anybody around the National Football League that you want to see this year? Certainly we've had some input about guys like Patrick Mahomes, J.J. Watt, some of the more famous guys. Aaron Donald has been mentioned once or twice. But which NFL player not on the Bills are you most excited to watch in 2019? From Dougie, he says, I'm a diehard Bills fan, but I live in Seattle, so I'm going to pick a Seahawk. I'm excited to see what Tyler Lockett does. Doug Baldwin is gone, and I think Tyler can be a superstar. The door is wide open for him. Also from Andrew, Josh Rosen. I like to see how he performs in the new system on a new team. He's going to have a lot of personal ammunition to prove that he is better than what people have said about him. There's something to be said for that. I don't know if any of you are in the same boat I am. If you want to talk about it, you can call us at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. One Bills Live. I have a big we all get caught up in the moment. I'm probably worse at this than most people, even particularly for a guy who played the game. I'm a kind of a here and now guy. I'm focused on what's in front of me, and I keep going moving forward. But I think, you know, you could almost make a living going back. And now with social media, you see people do this where you go back and you pull old tweets out, and guys have to, you know, pay the price for the stupid things they said early in their life. But I like to go back and see guys. Keep track of guys who were vilified, who were, you know, the draft analyst said they couldn't play. A team passed on them and said something disparaging when they picked a different guy. All of this stuff. You've heard that we had guys on, Tyler Dunn, who talked to us about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers still carries a chip on his shoulder that Mike McCarthy, the guy who became his head coach in Green Bay, was on the San Francisco 49ers staff. And the year that Aaron Rodgers was drafted. And he said that Alex Smith, who was the number one overall pick by the San Francisco 49ers, was a better draft pick, a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. And then ultimately those two ended up being on the same team, Mike McCarthy being his head coach. Aaron Rodgers never forgot it. That the guy who was his head coach had passed him up for Alex Smith. And the guys, and one thing about it is it's part of the mentality of being a professional athlete. It's part about setting a challenge out there for yourself and going out and meeting it and putting obstacles in front of yourself in order to motivate yourself to work harder to get over those obstacles, whether they're real or imagined. It's one of the reasons also that, bless their heart, a lot of players continue to play this game when maybe they shouldn't have played this game, where they keep going through where they've had one or two concussions or three or four knee operations or a shoulder or what have you, whatever injury you can name. It's just another obstacle for these guys to overcome. We've seen it before with great quarterbacks. I know Steve Young almost had to be pried out of the pocket when his time with the 49ers came to an end, and he got knocked cold on Monday Night Football. He still wanted to play after that. It has to be something within them that makes these guys want to continue. And you see guys this year, and we had Daniel Jeremiah on this year, who pointed out there's going to be guys who got overlooked and who are going to use it as a chip on their shoulder for the rest of their career. I like going back and looking through drafts and seeing really the current players who are really great who were just, you know, afterthoughts at some point in their career. Kyle Williams, fifth-round draft pick, turned into a five-time All-Pro. Things like that happen in the NFL, and it's fun to go back and see him. If you want to get in on it, call us if you want. Coming up right now at the top of the hour, Henry Jones is going to come in and speak with us. We're going to talk to my former teammate, former Bills safety, first-round draft pick, coming out in about 5 minutes. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.